This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزال. وأقول قال الله جل جلاله والمصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin with the praise of Allah by asking Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his family and his companions. We're still talking about the characteristics of the ideal husband, and we said that we can take some of these characteristics from the hadith of Zara. In the previous episode or the previous lesson, we had gone through five of the 11 women who had promised each other and had agreed with each other that they wouldn't conceal anything from what their husbands did. If you haven't seen the previous lesson or previous episode, I would recommend that you stop this video, go back and watch it now, inshallah, simply so that you don't feel lost in the middle of the discussion, because this is a continuation of what we said. We reached what the sixth woman said, and we said, we're not doing a detailed explanation here, but what we're doing is we're looking at what we can learn about how a husband should be from this hadith. قالت السادسة, the sixth one said, زوجي إن أكل لف وإن شرب اشتف وإن اضطجع التف ولا يولج الكف ليعلم البث. The sixth one, she said, my husband, when he eats, he pulls all the food his way, and he goes all around the plate. لفه, and he goes all the way around the plate. Meaning there's a plate for the two of them, and the husband, he eats the whole plate, the whole thing. وَإِذَا شَرِبَ اشْتَفْ, and when he drinks the whole vessel. He drinks it dry. And when he lies down, he wraps himself in his blanket. So what does this tell us? It's a negative, of course. And it tells us, first of all, that he doesn't share. So from the characteristics of the ideal husband, he should care about his wife and he should share with her. So he doesn't share because he's a person, he's got a plate that's supposed to be for him and his wife. And what he does is, leffa, he goes the whole around the whole plate and cleans the whole plate. And when he drinks from a vessel that's supposed to be between the two of them, he drinks it for himself. So he's selfish. He's selfish and greedy and he doesn't share. So the opposite of that would be sharing, selfless or considerate and generous. That's what you would want from the ideal husband. وَإِذَا اضْطَجَعَ إِلْتَفْ, when he lies down, he wraps himself in the blanket. Meaning he doesn't share it with his wife. He doesn't lie next to her. He doesn't give any attention to her. He just cares about himself. He's wrapped up in his own world. And so from the characteristics of the ideal husband is that he's not wrapped up in his own world. He's not focused on himself. He's also thinking about his family and their needs and thinking about what he can do for them. And also physically, that he's physically there for his family and he's physically intimate with his wife. He's not someone who just gets into bed, wraps himself in his own blanket, you know, sleeps on the other side of the bed, and that's it. He only cares about himself. And he doesn't stretch out his hand, she said. He doesn't stretch out his hand to know my grief. Now that could be literally, or it could be like as an expression. If it's literal, then maybe she's sick, or whatever, but he never reaches out his hand to feel that she's sick or she's not well. Or it means that he doesn't ever reach out to find out what's wrong with her. Like we would say in English, he doesn't reach out. He doesn't reach out to find what's the matter. He can see she's not well or not happy or she's upset. Al-Bath, Nama Ashku Bathi wa Huzni ila Allah. I complain of my grief and my sorrow to Allah. You can see she's got grief, she's got sorrow, but he never reaches out with his hand to find out what that grief is or what that sorrow is. So a husband should be someone who takes care of his wife. He should make an effort to be intimate with his wife. And he should be someone who, when she's sad or upset, he knows. And this is also something true of a wife as well. And indeed, there are many things here that we could apply to both. But you see, for example, from Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered that time, and there were those curtains which had the images on, and she saw from his face, she saw radiallahu anha from his face that he was upset. And we come to this inshallah when we talk about the wife, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that she saw from his face that he was upset. She knew he was upset. And that's a beautiful thing for the husband and wife to have, that you look at your wife's face, you know she's upset about something. And then you find out, you reach out with your hand. Either you take her hand or you sit with her or you talk to her, but you reach out and you find out what's the matter. So that was the problem with the sixth one. قالت السابعة, the seventh one said, زوجي غيايا أو عيايا طباقا كل داء له داء شجك أو فلك أو جمع كلا لك. The seventh one, she also criticized her husband. She said, my husband is غَيَايَا. He is evil. He is wicked. Or he is عَيَايَا. He's misguided. طَبَاقَا. He is foolish. So she described him as either she said evil or wicked, or she said misguided. And she described him as being foolish. And actually, this brings me to an interesting point, that a lot of the time you find that situation, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best why it happens, that you have a righteous woman complaining about the wickedness of her husband. And this is something that in marriage counseling, I've seen a lot, that you have a woman who is righteous and the husband is wicked. Maybe the husband doesn't pray, the husband doesn't care about the deen at all, or the husband cheats and lies and steals and all of this stuff. It's really sad to have that situation where you have a husband that is wicked and a woman that is, she has to be under his authority, and you know she's trying to be righteous, trying to get near to Allah, and he's wicked. Nobody wants to have that. To be the man in that situation is worse than being the woman. Because Asiya was the wife of Fir'aun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Asiya for her righteousness. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the completeness of her iman for her righteousness. But could you imagine to be in that example, to be the one that is like Fir'aun? Could you imagine being that kind of man, that you're the one that is wicked and evil and you know, foolish and what have you. And subhanAllah, the wife is a good person. How is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you such a blessing, but then you don't see that blessing, you don't implement that blessing, you don't give thanks for that blessing? So she either said that he is misguided, or she said that he is wicked or evil, and she said that he is foolish. And a man shouldn't be foolish. And by foolish here, perhaps you can take from that is foolish in the things that he says, foolish in the things that he does. One of the things that you want from a husband is to be responsible, to be someone that people look up to. Because if you're going to be the head of the household, you want to inspire the people in your household, right? You want the people to look up to you. You want your kids to look up to you and say, mashallah, you know, Allah bless my dad. I would like to be the way that he is, or I would like to have many of the characteristics that he has. And even if perfection is not something that any of us reach, but generally speaking, and he's someone people look up to and inspire confidence in. When he says something to his wife, you want her to feel like, when she has to listen to what he said, you want her to feel like he instills confidence in her. He gives her confidence that what he's saying and what he's decided is sensible and proportionate and reasonable, and not that he is foolish and silly, and that he, you know, sort of makes crazy decisions. Then she said, "Kullu da'in lahu da." Everything that can be, every kind of sickness is his sickness. Again here, what I found from most of the shurah here, what they said is the meaning of sickness here is a fault. Like every fault is his. You know, he's got a share of everything wrong. Meaning anything that anyone could say that's wrong about someone, you could give him a share of it. You could give him a piece of it. And then, and this is very important, the last one. She said, "Shajjaki aw fallaki aw jama'a kullan laki." Whether he hits you on the head or hits you on the body or does both of them to you at the same time. Whether he wounds you on the head or wounds you on the body or does both of them at the same time. This is a man who doesn't control his anger and he lashes out at his wife. And he hits her until her head bleeds and he hits her until her body bleeds or he does both. And that is a really evil person. That person deserves to be called ghayaya. That is a person who is evil. Because he wounds his wife on her head and he wounds her on her body. So he's hitting her and he's beating her and he's being abusive to her. So no husband should be like that. We're going to talk about the issue of a husband hitting his wife in detail, inshallah ta'ala, when we talk about nushuz, disagreements in marriage and things like that. But no one should be following that description, that he beats her on her head and he beats her on her body or he does both. Nobody should be following that description. And that's not what Islam calls for, which is actually an interesting way you can put that forward to show that that's not what Islam calls for. And as we said, we'll deal with the issue of whether it's allowed and when it's allowed and what to what extent it's allowed for a husband to hit his wife or hit his children. And we talk about that later on, inshallah ta'ala, in a subsequent episode. But here, we're talking about the fact that this man is a wife beater. And that is not something that a husband should be. The Prophet ﷺ never raised his hand. He never raised his hand to a woman or a servant or an animal. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He was sent rahmatan lil alameen, as a mercy to all mankind. He never raised his hand to his wife. He never raised his hand to a servant. And he never raised his hand even to beat, you know, an animal like they used to do when the animal was disobedient. You know, if the animal was just not listening and someone just excessively beat the animal. He didn't beat any. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And that's the best example for us to follow. We mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in the Messenger of Allah the best kind of example. قالت الثامنة, the eighth one said, زوج الريح ريح زرنب والمس مس أرنب. The eighth one, she said, my husband, his smell is like a sweet smelling plant, like zarnab, which is a plant that has a very sweet smell, and his touch is like the touch of a rabbit. So if we take this as praise here, and that's how most of the shurah took this here as praise, that if we take this as praise, then she's saying that he's got a lovely smell and a lovely touch, a soft touch. And that's, again, something fantastic for a husband to aspire towards, that he always looks good, he always takes care of his appearance, he takes care of his, the way that he smells, the way that he looks in the home, because he wants his wife to do the same. And it's not nice in the habit that some people have that he's willing to be kind of like a slob at home, you know, like really dirty and unclean. And then when he goes out, he puts nice new clothes on and he goes in the shower, takes care of himself, puts his perfume on and goes out of the house. Wouldn't it be better for him to come home, take a shower, put his perfume on and put his nice clothes on to be in the house? Would be more deserving. It would be awla. Except for the salah, because of course, there's no doubt that the most deserving for you to be well-dressed and well-presentable is for the salah, to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after that, for him to be presentable in front of his wife, and not for him to be really sort of unkempt and really dirty and disheveled in front of his family, and yet when he is outside, he makes himself clean and presentable. That's not something praiseworthy, and it's going to lead to marital problems, because it's either going to lead to a fitna happening to him, that he gets attracted, another woman gets attracted to him outside of the house or whatever, or his wife doubting him, starting to feel like, I don't feel you know, like he's so dressed up to go out of the house, but he comes home and he doesn't care about me, he doesn't dress up. So the fact is that he took care of himself. He always smelled nice and he was soft to the touch. Both in a literal sense, that he's soft to the touch, and also in the sense that he has a soft touch with his family. He's not angry, slow, he's easygoing, and we've spoken about that as well. قالت التاسعة, the ninth one said, زوجي رفيع العماد, طويل النجاد, عظيم الرماد, قريب البيت من الناد. The ninth one said, my husband is رفيع العماد. The pillars of his tent are very high. So here she's giving the example as if he pitched a tent and the pillars or the poles that hold up the tent are very, very tall. So it's a huge, big tent. What does that mean then? What's a husband with a huge, big tent? It's someone who's generous to his guests. He's generous to his guests. Very generous, very kind, known for inviting lots of people. And she actually mentioned that as being something praiseworthy and something really good. And it's not the case that he's burdening his wife in that way. But look at the honor of being associated with a person like that, to be said that, oh, you're so-and-so's wife. You know, that he's someone who is really generous and really kind and always bringing guests into the home. طويل النجات, he has a tall scabbard for his sword. So the sword, when he puts the sword into the sheath of the sword is very long. His nijat, the sheath of the sword, is tawil, is very long. And that might mean that he's a tall person. And that's what comes to mind, that he's a tall, like a tall, handsome guy, you know. But it also might mean that he is brave also, like his sword is big and he's brave. So he's brave or he's a tall person. And he is عظيم الرماد. The ashes are huge, meaning that he's always got the fire lit for people, for guests to come around and for people to be welcome to his home. He's always cooking for them, always giving them food. So the ashes from cooking, the ashes that build up after the fire, the ramad, which builds up after the fire, the ashes are عظيم. There's many of them. It's a large, like he has lots of ashes, meaning he cooks a lot for people. He looks after his guests well. He's generous and he's kind. قريب البيت من الناد, that his house is close to the ناد. The ناد here is like the central place where the people gather. And nadi here is the central place where everybody gathers. And this is the nadi. It's where everybody gathers. So if his house is nearby to that, what does that mean? It means he's an upstanding member of the community. His house is not hidden in the sticks in the middle of nowhere, right? Where nobody can find him, nobody can see him. He's right in the center of his community. He's right in the middle of his community. So from this, we can take positive attributes of the ideal husband: generous, kind to his guests, welcoming, brave, and that he's involved in his community. He's in the middle of his community. He's not someone who lives in the middle of nowhere, away from everybody, distant from everyone, doesn't welcome anyone to come to see him, keeps himself to himself. His house is قريب من النات. It's right next to the center of where everybody gathers. So it's easy for people to see him, and it's easy for him to see there's a new person in town and welcome them to come to his house. قالت العاشرة, the tenth one said, زوجي مالك وما مالك مالك خير من ذلك له إبل كثيرات المبارك قليلات المسارح إذا سمعنا صوت المزهر أيقن أنهن حوالك. The tenth one said, my husband is Malik. What shall I tell you about Malik? Malik is better than all of that. What does she mean, Malik is better than all of that? Either she means Malik is better than all the other husbands that have gone before, which is no great feat for a lot of them, although there were some positives in there. but a lot of those were negatives. But Malik is better than all of those who came before. Or she said that Malik, whatever I tell you, Malik will be better than what I told you. Whatever I tell you, I can't describe him because he'll just be better than that. What's good about him? She said, first of all, she mentioned Malik. And here Malik, that he is Zawji Malik. My husband is, he owns a lot of things. And the things that he owns a lot of things. She mentioned some of the things that he owns. She said he has many camels. Camels that have many folds and they are ready to be given to the guests, to be slaughtered for the guests. And the pastures of those camels are small. The masarih, which are the pastures of the camel, they are qalilat, they're small. And that's a sign of generosity because he doesn't let his camels go far from the house in case a guest comes. So he's willing to give his food, give that camel to slaughter the camel to give it to the guest as food. So if he had lots of pastures, then the camels are spread out. When his guests come, it looks like, you know, he doesn't really have anything to give them, or he has to go very far, it takes him a long time. But he keeps his pastures small so that he can easily bring a camel for his guests and slaughter it and provide it to his guests for food. So he's generous and he's good to his guests. When the camels hear the sound of the instrument, they know that one of them is going to be, or they know that they will be slaughtered, meaning that he was so, the guests used to come so many times, and he was so generous that even the camels became used to it. When you hear the sound of the instrument, you should be sure that this is a time that the camels are going to be taken and slaughtered for the guests to give us food. So that's part of his generosity, his kindness, and the fact that he's always ready to welcome his guests. So that's from the good characteristics also. We now come to the 11th one, and we've already spoken about the 11th one. We had read it previously in the 11th woman, who is Umzar. We've already spoken about that, but we'll go over it again briefly at the end of this lesson, looking at again the positive qualities of the husband, not necessarily looking at the, you know, what we said about the family and so on. قالت الحادية عشرة زوجي أبو زرع فما أبو زرع أناس من حلي أذني وملأ من شحم عضدي وبحجني فبهجت إلي نفسي. She said, Abu Zar, what can I tell you about Abu Zar? Even his name, Abu Zar, is like that he's a really good person, generous person with lots of good characteristics. He made my ears move. And anasa means he made them move, or he made them heavy with ornaments, with jewelry. And he filled my bones and my sinews with meat, with flesh. In other words, that he looked after her in terms of gifts and in terms of her food, and he made her happy. She said, he made me happy and I became content with myself. So three things we're going to take about the attribute of the husband from this. The first one is that he gives his wife gifts. That's the ideal husband. He gives his wife gifts. Doesn't have to be big gifts, although she mentions jewelry here, but he's a person who gives gifts to his wife. And he looks after her health, because that's what she means when she said, وَمَلَأَ مِنْ شَحْمٍ عَضُضَيْ, that he made my bones become fleshy. In other words, she put on weight. Because he looked after her, he took care of her, looked after her health, made sure she's eating properly. And he made her happy. And so she became happy with herself, became content with herself. So he should be someone who makes his wife happy, someone who gives his wife gifts, someone who looks after her health and takes care of her and makes sure she's got plenty to eat and so on. وَجَدَنِي فِي أَهْلِ غُنَيْمَةٍ بِشَقْ وَبِشِقْ فَجَعَلَنِي فِي أَهْلِ صَهِيلٍ وَعَطِيتٍ وَدَائِسٍ وَمُنَقٍ. He found me among a people of few sheep, you know, just a few like shepherds with just very little, very poor, either poor or they were on one side of a valley, or bishq, they were in a state of poverty and hardship. In any case, he found her with very little, and he gave her horses and camels and grains and land, and the grains that were separated, the munaq, and they were separated from the I don't know if you call it separating the wheat from the chaff, but you separate the grains like that. So the point is that he looked after her and he took care of her. Now, not everyone has horses and camels and grains and land and pasture and whatever to give to their wife or to allow their wife to live like that. But he obviously gave her the best of what he had. And that's probably the characteristic I would take from that part, that you give the wife, your wife, the best of what you have available to give her. You can't control what you have. It's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. But what you have, you give her the best of what you have. You look after the best way you can. فَعِنْدَهُ أَقُولُ فَلَا أُقَبَّحْ وَأَرْقُدُ فَأَتَصَبَّحْ وَأَشْرَبُ فَأَتَقَنَّحْ. She said, when I speak, he doesn't find a fault with me. And that's from the beautiful characteristics that a man can have with his wife, that he doesn't find a lot of faults in her, that he lets her speak, and he doesn't take her to account for every little thing. He lets her talk. She says things, and he doesn't say, you know, he doesn't jump and say this and that and the other. So he lets her speak, and he lets her be free in that. And she goes to sleep and she wakes up. Either it means he lets her sleep as long as she wants, or it means that she sleeps well. She has a good, she has a comfortable sleep because he looks after her. She's not worried. She's not scared about anything. She's not, you know, struggling to sleep at night out of worry. She goes to sleep and wakes up happy. And she drinks to her heart's content, meaning he's generous, he shares with her, and he gives her plenty. She then goes on to mention the mother of Abu Zar, the son of Abu Zar, the daughter of Abu Zar. And we'd already mentioned these previously, and they don't necessarily relate to the characteristic of the husband as much, except from the point of view as the husband as a son. The husband as a son, he's good to his parents. The husband as a father, he's raised his children well. Ummu Abi Zar, fama Ummu Abi Zar, hukumuha radah wa baytuha fasah. So he looks after his mum. He gave her a nice house to live in. Her cupboards are full. Ibn Abi Zar, fama Ibn Abi Zar, madji'uhu kama salli shatba wa yushbi'uhu dhira'u al-jafra. That his bed is like the, either it means like the soft, it's soft. Either kamasalli shatba, it means that it's like the soft, made like the soft palm, which is it's very like his bed is soft and comfortable, or like the unsheathed sword. And we mentioned wa yushbi'uhu dhira'ul jafra, it could indicate that he's happy with little. He's strong and he's fit and healthy. So even just a small amount, that's what he's happy with. And it's said also that dhira'ul jafra, it means that because it's the leg or the form of the lamb, that it means that he is getting really good quality food. You know, he's eating lamb, he's lying on a soft bed. Or it means that he's strong and he's capable and he suffices himself with little. Bintu Abi Zar, fama bintu Abi Zar, taw'u abiha wa taw'u ummiha wa mil'u kisa'iha wa ghaydu jaratiha. That the daughter of Abu Zar, what's the daughter of Abu Zar? She's obedient to her father, obedient to her mother. She fills out her clothes, meaning that he's looked after, taken care of her, so she's healthy and well-proportioned. And she is the jealousy of her jara. Some of the scholars said it means a co-wife. Some of them kept it general and just said it's just that the other women who look at her are jealous of her when they see how her father treat her. So in terms of the husband here, we don't want to dwell too much on this part of the hadith, but what we can say is that it does show that the husband is looking after his mom and dad, looking after his children and raising them up well. Likewise, the jariya, the servant girl, we're not going to dwell on that too much. Jariya to Abi Zar, fama jariya to Abi Zar, la tabuthu hadithana tabthitha wa la tunqithu miratana tanqitha wa la tamla'u baytana ta'ashisha. that she doesn't spread our news, she doesn't go through our things or doesn't waste things, and she doesn't leave our house full of rubbish. And we've already spoken about that in the previous one of the previous videos. Here, she then talks about what happened after that. She then tells about what happened with Abu Zar and how they came to be divorced. And it's amazing that she actually tells all of this positive news about Abu Zar, even though he divorced her and she was a divorcee. But it shows how well he treated her. He treated her so well. And this is really a really good way of talking about the ideal husband, that he treats his wife so well that even if he were to leave her, she would only remember the good things that he did. And that's an amazing quality for a person to have. So she talks about what happened. She said, قالت خرج أبو زر والأوطاب تمخض فلقي امرأة معها ولدان لها كالفهدين يلعبان من تحت خصرها برمانتين. So Abu Zar went out in the time of the spring when the milk was churning. That's the time when it was springtime and there was plenty of milk available. And he met a woman. And he was so impressed with this woman. This woman, she had two children with her, like leopards, who were playing under her vest with two pomegranates. It said that's a description of her body, how she was. A description of how she was. And he became attracted to her. He became attracted to her. So Zar, she said, فَطَلَّقَنِي وَنَكَحَهَا. He divorced me and he married her instead. And that was something that he did that left her sad. But because of the good treatment that the way that he treated her during the marriage, she only remembers the good things. She then said, فَنَكَحْتُ بَعْدَهُ رَجُلًا سَرِيَّا رَكِبَ شَرِيَّا وَأَخَذَ خَطِّيَّ. She said, I married after that a man who was noble. He rode a horse, or he was a master in riding horses. And he had a spear, and he was a great fighter, great warrior. He was a great warrior, he was a great horse rider, he was a noble man. وَأَرَاهَ عَلَيَّ نَعَمًا Thariya, and he gave me all different kinds of blessings, all different kinds of goodness, different kinds of gifts. وَعَطَانِي مِن كُلِّ رَائِحَةٍ زَوْجًا. And he gave me a pair of everything, a bit of every, from every animal or everything. He gave me a bit of everything. قَالَ كُلِي أُمَّ زَرْ وَمِيرِ أَهْلِكَ فَلَوْ جَمَعْتُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَعْطَانِي مَا بَلَغَ أَصْغَرَ آنِيَةِ أَبِي زَرْ. He said, Zar, eat and give to your family. So he was really generous. He said, eat and give to your family. But she said, if I was to bring together everything he gave me, it wouldn't reach even the smallest of the vessels of Abu Zar. Like, even though he gave her so much, but he couldn't compare to how Abu Zar was. قالت عائشة قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنت لك كأبي زرع لأم زرع. Aisha said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, I am like to you, like Abu Zar, it was to Zar. Here I want to stop and just finish off this episode by looking at what we can learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is more important than what we learn from the rest of the hadith. What we learn from the rest of the hadith is still a story of the 11 women that Aisha told, and we can take it like benefits from it. But what we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most important thing. And that's why most of the time when this hadith is narrated in the books of hadith, it's narrated in chapters that show how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behaved towards Aisha in this hadith. So number one, how the Prophet ﷺ spent time with his family. How the Prophet ﷺ listened to Aisha tell that long hadith. And he listened to her tell what she wanted. He didn't interrupt her. He didn't say, okay, that's enough now. You know, just tell me the first one, get to the point of the story. He let her tell that long story and he listened to her. And he listened to her carefully. And he was kind and considerate. The scholars take from this is that a man should tell his wife that he loves her. He should joke and play and be a bit relaxed at times with her. And he should show her how important she is. All of that we take from who? From which of the 11? From none of the 11. We take it from the Prophet ﷺ and how he behaved towards Aisha when he said, "Kuntu laki ka Abi Zar li Ummi Zar." I'm like Abu Zar was to Umm Zar. Me to you is like Abu Zar to Umm Zar. And that really shows how caring the Prophet ﷺ was, how he listened to Aisha, how much he loved his wives, and how he told Aisha that, how he was willing to talk about, you know, lighter things. I'm not going to say necessarily jokes as such, but lighter things. Things that were, you know, not so serious. And also for a person to tell their wife how important she is. This is from some of the benefits we can take from this hadith as it relates to the ideal husband. And that's definitely all we have time for. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Assalamu alaikum. If you're enjoying these videos and you'd like to keep up to date with all of the courses we're going to be running, make sure you head over to amauathome.com.